hearts. It is just so good to be back with you on this day that the Lord has made. I'm just excited about God's grace and mercy that's working in all of our lives. I do want us to keep in prayer just our world and everything that's going on, our nation, and this fight with COVID-19, and just so many disruptions. But we all know that God is faithful. That's why we're in the series on distractions and fear. And I pray that you will be encouraged by that word. Thank you so much for connecting with ebcnc.com, for your giving through our app, and just your support. And I use that in all forms and fashions, whether you're texting somebody, reaching out to call them, or maybe you're embracing them, or you're sharing in a time of Bible study online. We've got so much that's online. We've got our Monday Bible studies and special events, Tuesday noonday Bible study, Wednesday Bible study, and we've got our, of course, 10 o'clock online on Sunday, and our 8:45 in person and 10:45 in person. And the Lord has just done so many wonderful things. So I want you to encourage you to just stay in the Word, stay focused on the Lord. Well, I'm excited about this word today, so we're just going to take a few moments just to prepare our hearts as we think about how good God has been. See you soon.
I'd like to read a few verses of scripture from Joel 1. The word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethiel. Hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Have this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. That which the palm worm hath left hath the locust eaten, and that which the locust hath left hath the cankerworm eaten. And that which the cankerworm hath left, hath the caterpillar eaten. Awake, ye drunkards, and weep, and howl, all you drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. For a nation is come up against my land, strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he hath the cheek teeth of a great lion. He hath laid my vine waste, and bark my fig tree. He hath made it clean bare and cast it away. The branches therefore are made white. Lament like a virgin, girded with sackcloth for the husband of her youth. The meat offering and a drink offering is cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests, the Lord's ministers, mourn. But there's a call to repentance. The Lord says in verse 13, gird yourself and lament, ye priests. How are you ministers of the altar? Come, lie all night in sackcloth, ye ministers of my God. For the meat offering and the drink offering is withholding from the house of your God. Sanctify ye a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God and cry unto the Lord. Amen. Amen. The word of God for the people of God.
Amen. O Lord, thy God, how excellent is thy name. What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, what a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Lord, as we come before you this morning, we ask that you just watch over us. Lord, take our pastor and put a fence all around him as he had to go in and visit different homes. Just guide him and keep him in the way that you want him to be. Then, Lord, bless his family that works so closely with him to make sure that we can hear and understand the gospel each day and each night. Oh, Father, as the waiting congregation, Lord, just touch each and every one of our members. Lord, guide us through these trials and tribulations. We thank you, Lord, because early this morning you allowed us to see a day that we have not seen. Lord, we just want to thank you that you brought us from a mighty long way. Lord, we praying for the healing of this land. Heavenly Father, we thank you most of all because your son who died on Calvary's cross, early in the morning he rose, and he's still sitting on the throne of grace and mercy. He has not forsaken us. He has not left us alone. But we just must trust, lean not to our own understanding. Father, we pray for all the bereaved families. Pray for those that are in the hospital and for those that are standing on the street corners. Pray for that lost sinner. Now, Lord, as we go through this day, just guide us and keep us in your arms. We thank you for another day's journey. In the name of the Father, name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
There are some things I may not know. There are some places I can go, but I am sure. Thank you.
It is so good to be saved, delivered, and set free. As we get back in today's series, we started on last Sunday, distractions and fear. And we've been lifting up that topic scripture, and we will continue to lift it up throughout this series. And I encourage you to memorize this scripture. I believe once you get this in your heart, it's going to help you to battle so many things that comes to us with distractions and fear. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Amen. Hallelujah. And so as we go through today's lesson, I want you to really, really just focus in on Christ, and whatever issues that you have, whatever struggles that you're going through, know that God is faithful. Before we get into today's scripture lesson, I want us just to go in a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for even in this season where there are so many distractions and fear, we thank you for your grace that's sufficient. Lord, I pray for all those who are viewing now, especially for those who are not saved and don't know you. I pray that today be their day, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you have raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Let them know that Ephesians chapter 2 and 8, it talks about by grace we're saved, not of ourselves. It is a gift of God as we apply our faith, Lord, and we ask you, Lord, to increase our faith. Now, Lord, as we approach this word, just do it carefully. I ask you to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Holy Spirit, we welcome you and thank you for your leadership. Would you teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? Would you make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you? We just give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today's scripture comes from Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16, and we're going to start reading at that fourth verse. Judges chapter 16 and the fourth verse. It reads, afterward, it happened that he loved a woman in the valley of Sork, whose name was Delilah. Judges 16:5, and the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, entice him and find out where his great strength lies, and by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and every one of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver. Wow. I want to speak from a title today. Don't give away your strength. Don't give away your strength. As we get into this lesson today, that cloud of distractions and fear can attack us all. But today we go into a particular portion of the scripture that really highlights what can happen when we get caught up. Today we pick up and we lift up this person of Samson. Samson, Old Testament book of Judges, he has a long history even to get us to this point, but I just want to concise it. It's about 1000 BC. Manoah, his dad, and his mom's name is known as Manoah's wife. They are blessed to have an encounter with an angel, and through that, they're blessed with a child who is Samson. One of the things of this pregnancy and also the birth and growth of Samson is that he would be a Nazarite. And to take that Nazarite vow meant that he wouldn't cut his hair, and also he wouldn't have any wine, any grape or wine, any of those drinks within his life. And so he was consecrated, set apart for the Lord, and he was used in an amazing way to judge the people, or to be a deliverer, to bring people's hearts back to God. And that's going to be interesting as we get into the scriptures today. Samson is known for his mighty strength, his supernatural strength. There's so many Marvel movies that are out that talks about these superheroes with supernatural strength. Samson Samson was truly one of those. He has wreaked havoc on the Philistines over and over again. And again, God has used Samson to bring judgment upon the enemies. Today, as we get into the scriptures, we're going to look at some of Samson's faults, his distractions, and his fears. One big issue that Samson had, he succumbed to women. Yes, he had a need, in a sense, for all kinds of women. It upset his mother and his father because they wanted him to settle down with a girl that was from their background, had their beliefs. But Samson loved Philistine women, a desire for the enemy. Without going too far, I want to go ahead and jump into this, Judges 16:1. Now Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot there and went into her. When the Gazites were told Samson has come here, they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the gate of the city. They were quiet all night, saying, "In the morning, when it is daylight, we will kill him." And Samson lay low till midnight. Then he arose, and midnight he took hold of the doors of the gate of the city and the two gateposts, and pulled them up, bar and all, put them on his shoulders, and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. Here's our first point, and we're digging in real quick. Your sin will find you out. Your sin will find you out. Now, this is interesting because we find Samson going into the Philistine camp, and it's not necessarily just to find this harlot. I believe the driving force of Samson going into the Philistine camp, knowing that he's going into the enemy camp, is his pride. He believes because of his strength, nobody can take him down. He can do whatever he wants. He can have any desire that he wants, and here he goes in to the enemy's camp. But we've got to be aware of these distractions that can come into our lives that the enemy can introduce to us. Proverbs 16:18 says, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Now, I do want to deal with this distraction of this sexual encounter with this harlot. It is totally wrong, and we find out in the New Testament why. 1 Corinthians 6:15 says, "Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not." 1 Corinthians 6:16 says, "Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two," he says, "shall become flesh." So imagine this, Samson, as he connects with this harlot, they are becoming one. He is connecting with the enemy. He's allowing the enemy to become a part of him. 1 Corinthians 6:17-18, "But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside of the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body." Don't give away your strength. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not of your own, for you were bought with a price? Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." I tell you, because Samson was set apart, this is even more relevant in his life. Again, he has that Nazarite vow. He was set aside for God to be used in an awesome purpose of strength to bring judgment again upon the Philistines. But now he's allowing sin, his sin nature, to take over. He's allowing his flesh and those desires to actually control him. But even in this sinful situation, God is showing grace within these scriptures. Let me extrapolate Judges 16:3, which we've read. It said, "And Samson lay low till midnight. Then he arose at midnight, took hold of the doors of the gate of the city and the two gateposts, and pulled them up, bar and all, put them on his shoulders, and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron." This is an amazing feat because he is in sin. He is messed up. But God still has shown grace and mercy when he gets up and he goes out out. He's able to pick up these gates of the city, and he carries them 40 miles. Yes, about 40 miles in the power and the might of the Lord. I want you to know God has shown us so much mercies, and we can never take that for granted within our lives. Don't give away your strength. Look at Judges 16:4. Afterward, it happened that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. Whew. Here's another point. There's a thin line between love and hate. Yes, there's a thin line between love and hate. Don't give away your strength. Samson at this point, so strong. We see these acts, carrying these gates for 40 miles, doing all of these things against the Philistines. Now he gets caught up. He gets caught up with this prostitute, this harlot, this woman of the night called Delilah. The persuaders in the 70s, they sang this song. It's a thin line between love and hate. Some of you know that. Don't shout too loud. And in that song, it talked about this sweetest woman dealing with her husband, and finally, because the husband had been cheating, she puts him in the hospital, and he's laying there and in essence singing the song and saying, I don't even know what hit me. The sweetest woman can become the meanest woman if you do that or make her that way. And so in this process, we find out that Samson falls in love with Delilah. Now, I do want to describe this type of love in the Hebrew. It means qual in the Hebrew. Now, this is important because this is known as a love to a human object. So a human love to a human object. Now, this is so important. This is not agape. This is not God's love. This is hinging on possession. This is hinging on lust. And this is where Samson is. He saw this woman, this professional woman, and he fell head over heels in lust, or he wanted to have her as his own. And don't give away your strength. Delilah knows what she's doing. Delilah has been in the business, we see in the scripture, it seems, for a long time because she has many connections there. And the fact that Samson is allowed to come into this professional place to meet Delilah, we see a lot of things that are occurring. Melissa Marr, in her book, she wrote this statement: he looked good like sin in a suit. Yes, and I wanted to change that to be applicable to what we're dealing with Samson. We could say Delilah looked good like sin in a dress. There ought to be some shouts today and say, God, forgive us. Because this whole process, so many times we can be led by our eyes. We can be led by the desires of our flesh. And here we find Samson caught up with Delilah. Don't give away your strength. Judges 16:5. And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, entice him and find out where his great strength lies, and by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and every one of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver. Here's another point, the setup. The setup. Saints, we must be aware that distractions and fear, when they're introduced in our lives by the enemy, there's always a setup. It's just not the initial attack, but he's trying to get us to another point. The enemy has a plan to take us out. He just doesn't come and attack. He has a plan to actually take us down. Let us not forget 1 Peter 5:8-9. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That 9th verse, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Don't give away your strength. I want to focus on a powerful word that we see within these particular scriptures, Judges 16:5. And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, entice him. This is a powerful word simply because we find out that they're saying, we need you to get into his mind. We need you to be able to control him. We need you to entice him. You can put that in the chat, entice. Because the enemy uses this as a distraction often, even in the Christian life. The enemy knows how to entice us. James 1:14 says, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own, are you with me, desires and entice. Christ. All of us have things on the inside of us. That's why we can't lean to our own understanding, but we've got to lean to God's understanding, and we need to crucify the flesh daily. If only Samson could have followed the advice of Solomon in Proverbs. Proverbs 6:20 says, "My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life to keep you," listen to me, "from the evil woman and from the flattering tongue of the seductress." Proverbs 6:25 says, "Do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids." Don't give away your strength, for by means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a crust of bread, and an adulteress will prey upon his precious life. And then that Proverbs 6:27, this is powerful here. Can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared? Don't give away your strength. Look at these next verses, Judges 16:6-7. "So Delilah said to Samson, 'Please tell me where your great strength lies and with what you may be bound to afflict you.' And Samson said to her, 'If they bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings not yet dried, then I shall become weak and be like any other man.'" Look at that, Judges 16:8. "And so the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 fresh bowstrings not yet dried, and she bound him with them. Now men were lying in wait, staying in or with her in the room. And she said to him, 'The Philistines are upon you, Samson.' But he broke the bowstrings as a strand of yarn breaks when it touches fire. So the secret of his strength was not known." Here's another point. Don't play with the devil. Don't play with the devil. Yes, yes, yes. We find out that Samson is being entertained at this point. Delilah has confronted him. And that 6th verse, it says, "So Delilah said to Samson, 'Please tell me where your great strength lies.'" Now, this should have been a red flag to Samson, but he's caught up. Remember, he's lusting after this lady. He's excited to be with her. And it seems that she's his main squeeze. And so at this point, he's strong. He feels that nothing can take him down. And so he begins to play this mouse and cat game with her. Judges 16:8 says, "So the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 fresh bowstrings." And then that 9th verse says, "Now men were lying in wait, staying with her in the room." Don't give away your strength. Now, this is always amazed me as I've gone through this scripture, because Delilah has this setup. She has all of these things that are there, and the Philistine men are actually, it says within the scripture, they're staying in the room. So they have brought these things to Delilah to test, to see if they can take the strength of Samson away. And they're in the very room where Samson is with Delilah, but yet he is so caught up, he doesn't realize that his demise is on the way. I'm talking about distractions and fear. As we go through this world, we've got to realize that the enemy, he wants to fish for us. Yes, yes, he wants to put a hook out there, and he wants to get it in our mouth and pull us in quickly or slowly. And here Samson is being drawn in. Don't give away your strength. Look at these next verses, 16:10. "Then Delilah said to Samson, 'Look, you have mocked me and told me lies. Now, please tell me what you may be bound with.' So he said to her, 'If they bind me securely with new ropes that have never been used, when I shall become weak and be like any other man.'" 12th verse, "Therefore Delilah took new ropes and bound him with them and said to him, 'The Philistines are upon you, Samson.' And men were lying in wait, staying in the room. But he broke them off his arms like a thread." Here's another point. Diablo. Yes, Diablo is a Spanish word for the devil. The devil doesn't play fair. He doesn't play fair. And here we find out the men are in the room. Delilah, his main squeeze, is actually against him, and he can't even see it. He's caught up in this distraction of life because the lust of his flesh is driving him to get what he wants. This is a trait of the enemy. And this is an example that I brought out many times. It's like having a rock and a water dropping on that rock for a long time. That's Diablo. That water eventually over a long period will break through that rock. That's the enemy as he tries to attack us in our lives. That's the enemy as he's attacking Samson at this point. Just little bit by little bit, it will break him apart. There was another example given by John Maxwell that I thought was very powerful. He said, what I want you to do, I want you to get an axe and I want you to go to a big tree in your backyard. And every day, all I want you to do is take that axe. Doesn't matter how strong you are. Doesn't matter how much you know how to use an axe. Just hit the tree in the same place 5 times. Every day, put the axe up, go to the next day and go to that same spot, that same tree, and hit it 5 times. And what do you think's going to happen? Yes, that's how the enemy, that's what Diablo does. He just hits us every day. He just drops on us a little bit of water every day. And eventually, if we're not careful, we break down. Look at Judges 16:10 again, that second part. Look, you have mocked me and told me lies. Now, please tell me what you may be bound with. Don't give away your strength. Yes, this Diablo, Delilah being the devil, she's coming at him over and over again. A little drop on the rock, a little axe to the tree, bit by bit every day, and it's sinking in deeper and deeper. Look at Judges 16:13. And Delilah said to Samson, until now you have mocked me and told me lies. Tell me what you may be bound with. And he said to her, if you weave the 7 locks of my head into the web of a loom. So she wove it tightly with the batten of the loom and said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. But he awoke from his sleep and pulled out the batten and the web from the loom. Judges 16:15. Then she said to him, how can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me these 3 times and have not told me where your great strength lies. If you're in the chat out there, tell Samson to run. Just type in R-U-N. Run, Samson. She continues on. You haven't told me the source of your strength. Judges 16:16. And it came to pass, when she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death, that he told her, are you with me? All his heart, and said to her, no razor has ever come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaven, then my strength will leave me and I shall become weak and be like any other man. Here's another point. The trap. Don't give away your strength. The enemy always takes these steps, step by step, to really take us down. Judges 16:13, looking at very close to that second part. And he said to her, if you weave the 7 locks of my head into the web of the loom. Yes, this whole process here, if you notice, he was getting closer and closer to the truth. She kept on pressing him. And now he's playing with the devil even more. And he's coming to the point, he's like, just weave my hair. Now, that is dangerous. Close to the truth. And that's what I find out when distractions come within our lives. Some of us with these distractions, we talk to ourselves and we say, I can get close, but I'm not going to mess up. We say things like, you know what, I can take a few steps towards it and I'll be all right. And I can play around it a bit and I'll be able to pull myself back. But I am telling you, we already talked about Proverbs, man, how can you take a fire into your bosom and not get burned? Notice this Judges 16:16 again. And it came to pass, when she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death. Don't give away your strength. Delilah comes at him as an axe, hits him a couple of times, few times, 5 times a day, and she leaves and she comes with that water, that sweetness, and just dropping on the rock a bit by bit every day, until all of a sudden and Samson begins to break down. Judges 16:17, that he told her all his heart and said to her, no razor has ever come upon my head, for I've been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaven, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. Distractions. How many times have we thought that we were in control, that we thought that we had this, and then we found ourselves shipwrecked, we found ourselves in a ditch, we found ourselves in a wreck of life, all because we thought we could control it, but we allowed the enemy to get too close, we played around it too much, we gave away our strength. C.H. McIntosh, he observes, he says, the lap of Delilah proved too strong for the heart of Samson, and what 1,000 Philistines could not do was done by the ensnaring influence of a single woman. Don't give away your strength. I'm telling you, the enemy is master of distractions and bringing in fear. And here we see an example of Samson, a strong man being taken down simply because he does not trust in God, but yet he put trust in his flesh. Look at Judges 16 and 18. When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up once more, for he has told me all his heart. So the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hand. Judges 16, 19. And then she lulled him to sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. Don't give away your strength. Yes, at this point, Delilah's still playing the role. She's the sweetness that Samson thought that she was, but yet she was the devil, and somehow she gets him into this deep, deep sleep, and there he is lying on her lap, the enemy's lap. Judges 16:20, and she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. So he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free, but he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Here's another point. Grieving the Lord. Yes, grieving the Lord. Samson. God was so gracious to him. He was so kind. In all of his mess ups, God was walking with him in spite of that. And there ought to be some witnesses say, thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy, because we have messed up over and over again. But aren't you glad that God never left us nor forsook us? But please understand, Samson could not be allowed to continue in his sin, nor can we be allowed to continue in our sins. We have to make a decision that we are not going to give away our strength, but we're going to walk with the Lord every day. Samson here has to be brought a judgment in his life simply because he refuses to follow the will of God. Remember Ephesians 4:30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Yes, the source of Samson's power and strength was actually the Holy Spirit coming upon him. We see this often in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit would sit upon kings and priest, and the judge was actually acting in that particular platform. And so the Holy Spirit was actually the real one that was giving him the strength, but yet he was going contrary to what God had said. Moses shows us the correct path to not allowing the pleasures of this world to encapsulate us. Hebrews 11:24. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Listen to this, that 25th verse, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Yes, there is pleasure in sin for a season, but afterwards is death. Can I say that again? There is pleasure in sin for a season, but afterward it is death. Don't give away your strength. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Don't give away your strength. Look at Judges 16:19. Then she lulled him, as we examine how this actually took place, to sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his hair. And then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. Somebody say the enemy. Yeah, you can type it in. E-N-E-M-Y, enemy. This is powerful here simply because that which was sweet to him, there's a thin line between love and hate. She has changed. She has turned on him. And she's always been that person. But now she begins to show herself in the scripture. Then she began to torment him and his strength left him. She calls him in. They shave his head. He's asleep on her lap. This is the comfort zone for him. But he does not realize that this will turn to hell for him in a sense. And so this whole thing becomes problematic, and that which was sweet to him becomes bitter to him. The enemy again does not play fair. Don't give away your strength. Look at these last verses of the day. Judges 16, 21 and 22. Then the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with the bronze fetters and he became a grinder in the prison. However, the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaven. Here's our final point. Judgment and grace. Judgment and grace. As we look at these scriptures, the first one I want to show you is judgment. The wages of sin is death. Judgment had to come to Samson. Judges 16, 21. Notice this. Then the Philistines took him and put out his eyes. Judgment. Judgment. He continually went against God. So now judgment has to come upon his life. Notice there's another part of the judgment. That second part. They bound him with bronze fetters and became a grinder in the prison. So now he's in chains. He's in bonds. And he has hard labor that he's in prison and he can't see. That is judgment. But I want you to know, even in judgment, and there ought to be some shouts of praise, God is still a gracious and kind God. God is still doing exceedingly abundantly above what we can dare ask or think. Let me show you in that Judges 16, 22. In this grace, it says, however, the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaven. Somebody just say grace. Grace. You can type it in the chat. Grace, grace, grace. I am so glad for grace, because even in his judgment, even in the chains, and even with his eyes out, God said, let his hair grow back. And as his hair grows back, God began to move in him, even in the prison, even in his shackles. God is showing how good he is, because in his death, I wish I had time to tell you the whole story, but I'll just summarize it. Samson is by a pillar and he's in a coliseum, and all these Philistines come, and as his hair is growing back, the Holy Spirit decides to come upon him one last time, and he pushes the pillar down, and the scripture said that he killed, actually brought judgment upon more Philistines in his death than he did in his life. That is a good God that can use us in spite of ourselves. But I'm so glad, as we pull this all together, that there was a better Samson. There was someone that was stronger. You know his name is Jesus. Jesus didn't give away his strength. I'm so glad. You remember when he was out there in the temptation and he was getting prepared to go into this powerful ministry, but the devil showed up. Diablo showed up and he began to tempt him after Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights and hunger had returned to him. And the devil says, what I want you to do is I need you to turn these stones into bread. You remember that example we get is that little water hitting on that stone over a period of time will break. But the devil said, I want to turn this around. I want you to take the stones that are there. I know you can do it. And I want you to change it to bread. But I'm so glad that Jesus didn't give up his strength. There ought to be some shouts of praise. Matthew 4:4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Oh, I'm glad to tell you that Jesus won over and over again. He was able to heal the sick, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees would come against him. They would talk about him healing on the Sabbath, and Jesus would come back with Holy Spirit answers. He didn't give away his strength, but we find him even in the Garden of Gethsemane, where the enemy shows up again. He begins to attack him with all kinds of things. He begins to tantalize him and entice him. But I'm so glad to tell you in Luke 22 and 42, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Are there some shouts of praise for a God that didn't give away his strength? But Luke 22, 43 and 44 gives us some insight. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. ground. That's why I'm so glad to serve a God that didn't give away his strength, but he goes to the cross of Calvary. He takes the nails in his hands and the nails in his feet. On the cross of Calvary, he dies for us. They peel his cold body off of that cross and put it into a cold grave. But I'm so glad to let you know he gets up on the third day with all power and all glory. Don't give away your strength. Jesus has died for us, but yet he's gotten up on the third day with all power and all glory to enable us to receive his Holy Spirit, those who call on him, confess him, believe in him, what the Father has done. And so now we don't have to depend on our flesh. We don't have to fall into the enticements, the distractions, and fear that the enemy brings, but we can call on the Lord. Some of you are out there right now going through some things, and I want to give you a solution. Call on Jesus. Don't give away your strength. No matter the temptations that are coming to you, God always gives a way out. Yes, he does. But we have to choose to call on him. The first thing, if you're not saved, please, today, let it be your day. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead. It said, you will be saved. Then at Ephesians 2:8, it's by grace through faith and not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Won't you take that gift today? Man, that'll help you, because now you'll have the strength of the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of you. Maybe you're a saint out there and you're saying, Pastor, I've got some temptations I'm going through. I got some struggles. I keep tripping. I keep failing. I want you to know that there is a solution. Call on God. Yes, the 1 John 1:9 said, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Bring it to a stop. Run. Get away and run to Jesus, because he has more strength, more than enough. And so what Samson could not do in the Old Testament, Jesus has done for us, and we can trust him. I encourage you today, hold on to the Lord in these crazy times. God is still faithful. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you for allowing us to see the life of Samson. Lord, help us not to fail you. Help us to trust you. Help us not to give away our strength, but help us to have faith in all that you've done, the finished work of the cross of Calvary and the resurrection. Lord, we embrace the fact that you're praying for us right now. You're interceding for us on the right hand of the Father. Lord, you want us to win, and I thank you that we already have the victory in you. Now, Father, as we go forth in this day, help us, God, to hold strongly to you as you hold strongly to us. Lord, thank you. The only reason we love you is because you first loved us with that true agape love. Oh God, order our steps today. We give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Carry on for Jesus everywhere you go. Let the hope and glory be the seeds you sow. Like a stream in